Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
Yes.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Joe Biden gets to campaign in Pennsylvania. The Kennedys get to come out for him full force in Philly. But Donald Trump is stuck in a New York City courtroom because they're taking the Republican nominee for president off the playing field in the United States of America. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. A lot to talk about. Busy, busy show. And I got to tell you, Mayorkas is such a freaking disgrace, but the lunatics in New York City right now still banging pots and pans, all wearing masks outside. That is the Democrat Party. That's Joe Biden's party. That's Joe Biden's people. These are the people. This is why Joe Biden has such a problem going into Michigan and Minnesota. This is why the Kennedys came in to endorse Joe Biden today, because they're worried. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is on the ballot now in Michigan. He's going to hurt Joe Biden. He will not take votes from Trump. He's going to hurt Biden. Trust me on this. Here to talk about all these things, my friend Caroline Levitt. She is the national press secretary for the 2024 Trump campaign. Hello, Caroline. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Rich. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me again. Always a pleasure to join you.
I appreciate you doing so. There's a lot to chat about. First of all, I'm happy to see the president is coming to New Jersey on May 11th for a rally in Wildwood. That should be a blast.
Yes, we are so excited about the big rally that we just announced in Wildwood. It's going to be May 11th, so everyone can go and get their tickets now. You can go to DonaldJTrump.com, click on events, and join us. It's going to be great. We're also going to be in North Carolina this weekend. If you just so happen to have anyone listening, that's going to be in Wilmington, North Carolina on Saturday night. We will be there, and if these rallies are anything like the rally we had in Allentown last week, they're going to be electric. I will tell you, that was one of the best Trump rallies I've ever been to. The people of Pennsylvania showed up. The energy was fantastic, and it really invigorated our team as we began this Biden witch hunt in New York City this past week.
Yeah, and that's what frustrates me, is the fact that Joe Biden's been campaigning in his fake hometown of Scranton. He's in Philly today with the Kennedys, and they're forcing the former president to sit in a courtroom in New York City, potentially now taking him off the playing field for 2 months. I just find that to be so outrageous, antithetical to democracy, unfair to the voters who need to hear from him. These gag orders are unconstitutional. The entire thing is just an affront to a presidential election.
It is. That's exactly right. This is a communist show trial. That's literally what this is in the media capital of the world. That's being led by Joe Biden and his team of Democrats themselves. And they are using Alvin Bragg, the far left district attorney in New York, to push this case forward. This case was long referred to by the DA's office and prosecutors in New York as the zombie case, because no prosecutor in their right mind wanted to bring it up other than Bragg. Why? Because he's such a far leftist. He's not right in the head. And he hates President Trump so much that he's willing to do this. And then we have a judge who's overseeing the case, Judge Bershon, who is also a partisan Democrat, who has given money to Joe Biden's campaign. You cannot oversee a case, honestly, unbiasedly, against a political candidate when you yourself support that candidate's opposition. It's outrageous. And now we're in the midst of struggling to put together a jury. As our team has long said, it's going to be nearly impossible to get a truly fair and impartial jury in Manhattan, one of the most liberal jurisdictions in the country. I'd like to flip this on its head and just imagine if it were Republicans who were abusing the legal system to put Joe Biden on trial in the middle of deep red Alabama. I think the Democrats would have a lot to say about that. It would be completely unfair. It's unfair in this scenario, too. It's a waste of taxpayer money. It's a waste of the New York Police Department's time. I was there on Monday and Tuesday, couldn't help but think all these cops that should be and want to be focused on getting real criminals, arresting them in the streets, are forced to protect this courthouse now for the next 6 weeks. It's a shame for the city of New York, and it's a shame for our country to watch this despicable trial go on.
Yeah, I think it's a great point you make. If they kept Biden in deep red Alabama for 2 months, not being able to be on the campaign trail while Trump's able to just dominate in the swing states, you would have every single talking head in the media melting down. Joe Scarborough's head would literally explode. Mika would be crying. I mean, there would be gnashing of teeth and screaming about this. And rightly so, by the way, rightly so, because it's unfair and it's not fair to the voters who need to hear from these two candidates. We are now in mid-April, and they need to hear from the candidates directly. This is a crucial time, and the coordination between the Biden White House and this court case in New York City troubles me greatly. I think it troubles a lot of people. But I tell you, one of the things that I think Trump is so good at, Caroline Leavitt, is that he's able to take advantage of every opportunity. So going to Harlem the other night was a great move. Going to that bodega where the district attorney had charged that poor clerk with murder, I thought that was a brilliant move.
It was. It really was. It was a great move by our campaign team and President Trump. And we showed up in Harlem on Tuesday to a crowd of enthusiastic people who were so excited and surprised to see President Trump rolling up to their neighborhood. And he visited the bodega where Jose Alba was robbed and attacked at gunpoint and was forced to defend himself and killed the criminal, the perpetrator, who was attacking him. And Alvin Bragg wrongfully accused Jose Alba of murder. He sent him to Rikers Prison for 6 days when it was a clear case of self-defense that was caught on camera for the whole world to see. And so when we were standing outside that bodega the other day, people were chanting, "We love Trump." They were chanting, "Four more years." They were also chanting, "Lying Bragg," because they know that Alvin Bragg is a liar who has put soft on crime policies in place in New York that has left the lives of the people of Harlem and every city, every neighborhood in New York much worse off. And so, you know, all Americans of all backgrounds see this trial by Bragg for what it is. And at the end of the day, we all just all want law and order. We want criminals in our streets to be locked up, not released. We want bad guys to go to prison. And that is not what is happening in New York right now. Rather, they're spending time and taxpayer money, again, on going after the former president of the United States.
Well, let me give you the opportunity to speak to the people of Pennsylvania, because I know that Joe Biden's trying to command the stage here. I saw an article recently in the Wall Street Journal. It had all these guys in the energy sector outside of Pittsburgh. One of the guys in the article voted for Biden in 2020, and he was quoted as saying, "I will never vote for a Democrat ever again." These people all work in the natural gas industry, which is one of Pennsylvania's most important industries. And they know, they realize now that the Democrats want to take away their jobs. They want to shut down their jobs. Biden's war on energy, that is a fact.
Exactly right, yes. And to the people of Pennsylvania, you got to ask yourselves, are you better off now than you were a few years ago under President Trump's leadership? And the answer has got to be unequivocally no. I mean, look at what has happened to your state. Inflation has hit record high. Prices in Pennsylvania are still 20% higher than they were when President Trump was in the White House. If we give Biden another 4 years, prices are going to continue to increase. Mortgage rates are going to hit 10%. It's going to be completely unattainable to live the American American dream to buy a new home, never mind rents in our inner cities like Pittsburgh and Philly that are skyrocketing while the quality of life in those cities is declining because of Democrats' soft on crime and lawlessness policies. President Trump will support the law enforcement in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He will rebuild our economy, bring inflation down. He'll make gas cheap again, and he'll also secure our southern border, which is impacting Pennsylvania like it's impacting every other state in this country. We've had a rise in migrant crimes that are being committed by illegals who don't respect us. They don't respect our country. They're allowed to freely enter, and then we're paying for them. We are putting them on taxpayer-funded flights, flying them to the city of their choice, whether that's Philly or Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, or New York. What Joe Biden is doing is not right, and we cannot afford four more years of his leadership. It's a binary choice on November the 5th. You could vote for the guy who's allowed chaos around this world to ensue, has allowed bloodshed and war, has created the worst inflation crisis in a generation, or you could vote for President Trump, who is fighting like hell to ensure that we can make this country great again. He'll secure our border, and he'll bring down the cost of living for all of us.
Well, I look forward to seeing you May 11th, my friend. Caroline Leavitt, National Press Secretary for Donald Trump. Get your tickets to the Trump rally May 11th in Wildwood with Congressman Jeff Van Drew and all kinds of other fun surprises for you. DonaldJTrump.com. Thanks, Caroline. Always appreciate talking to you, and let's talk again soon.
Hey, Rich. We'll be there. Looking forward to seeing you. Thanks so much.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, the big story of the day brought to you by my buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Two offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. Joe Biden opposes the bill that would keep cops and the feds from buying your data. The Fourth Amendment is not for sale act. We've talked about this with my buddy Scott Perry before, and this is something that I think is crucial. Let's understand what this is about. Every time you go online, every time you search for something, there's people watching you and buying you and selling you, and you are the product. And all of your browsing history and your shopping history and your data, it's all there. Third parties buy it. They sell it. That's how it works. Well, the government does the same thing. And the Fourth Amendment is not for sale act would prevent law enforcement and intelligence agencies from purchasing data that they would otherwise need a warrant to obtain. This is common sense here. It's a bipartisan bill. You have Democrats and Republicans both sponsoring this, including Ron Wyden, Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Pat Leahy. You've got Republicans in the House like Scott Perry and even the waddler, Gerald Nadler. Everybody understands this. This is a no-brainer. The federal government should not be able to just simply buy data for the purposes of spying on the American people. And now, the Biden administration put out a memo saying that they oppose this. And why do they oppose this? They oppose this, of course, because of terrorists. You know, bad guys, they got to be able to track them. They said the administration strongly opposes the bill. According to a statement of administration policy, the bill generally would prohibit the intelligence community and law enforcement from obtaining certain commercially available information, subject only to narrow, unworkable exceptions. Now, I'm going to tell you more about this as the show unfolds, but I want you to remember something. We have a tendency sometimes to think, well, listen, if I've done nothing wrong, what do I have to worry about? So what if the government can just buy data and know about all my movements and my whereabouts? I haven't done anything wrong. The question, though, is, are you sure? Did you know that the CDC, for example, purchased third-party data and used it to see how people were complying with stay-at-home orders, to see if people were going to pharmacies to get the vaccine, to see how many kids were going to school? And for other reasons outside of COVID as well. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They monitored how many people were in houses of worship. They monitored mass gatherings like concerts, restaurants, all with data on cell phone locations. And they were able to pinpoint exactly where people were. Now, imagine a scenario where, say, a bar owner winds up getting a letter in the mail saying that his liquor license has been suspended because they found out now using geolocation data years later that he had more people in his establishment than was allowed at the time, and they take away his liquor license, or you wind up getting a citation in the mail because it turns out you violated the stay-at-home orders, or I don't know, worse. I mean, maybe one day in the future when there is a vaccine mandate that everybody has to take and literally the government is waiting for you to show up at your local CVS, and until you do, they don't let you do things because they can monitor your movements and track you and know exactly where you are. I mean, it's not hard to conjure up these dystopian scenarios, and there's a reason why the founders were a tad bit paranoid of government. You know, you want to talk about the original conspiracy theorists. I guess you could say the founding fathers were, maybe. Yeah, you know, if you want to really go back and say, well, who are the OGs, the OG conspiracy theorists who thought the government could really use its power against the people? You probably have to go with the framers of the Constitution, because they saw what the British did. And they said, we need a Fourth Amendment that says before the government is able to get our access to our houses and our businesses and our persons, our papers and effects, they have to go before a judge and they got to swear an oath and they got to show probable cause. And they made it very difficult for the government to do those things, because I guess those wacky conspiracy theorists just conjured up all these ideas in their head of what government could do to you if it didn't need to get a warrant. And here we are now having the same conversation. And if I come up with these dystopian narratives, somebody out there will accuse me of being a conspiracy theorist. Oh, they would never track your cell phone to make sure that you got a vaccine in the future. They would never monitor your movements to see if you were having more than 12 people at your house if the rule was only 10. They would never look at those things. Yeah, they did. The CDC literally did. I have all the details for you. I'll share that with you before the show's over. But I'm not surprised Biden's against this act. Why would Biden want to give up any powers he has to spy on you? Why would Joe Biden want to give up any of the government's ability to monitor your every movement and know exactly what you're doing? They're already doing that if you go to Cabela's and buy a fishing hat or a Bible or a gun or ammunition. They get your credit card statements. They have access to all that data, too. I hope this act passes, but what makes me nervous again is you have a lot of Republicans, unfortunately, who are part of the whole keep us safe at any price caucus. And in their mind, as soon as they hear either the T word or the C word being terrorism, and let me be very clear, the C word being children. I want to make that point very clear, very quickly, and not have anyone think of I was implying another C word, the children, for the terrorists or the children. And then what happens is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights becomes an afterthought. It's like, oh, well, listen, I mean, as long as I don't get blown up by a terrorist or my kid doesn't swallow a Tide Pod, the hell with the Fourth Amendment. We don't need it anymore. And they're counting on you for that. They're counting on you to say that. And I wonder at some point then they'll be able to buy third-party data to see how much gasoline you're purchasing, how you're heating your home. They'll be able to buy third-party data to see what sort of products you're using and maybe have a green impact statement on you, or who knows. The point is, I don't need to conjure up crazy scenarios. The framers did that for us and decided that they needed to restrain government by getting a warrant. And so the difference between the government getting access to my data and Google having access to my data is that Google can't raid my house with guns. Google can't audit me. Google can't intimidate me by doxing me. And I mean, Google could dox me. They could do that. But when the government does it, it's a whole other level of embarrassment and shame, which the Supreme Court noted in a case several years ago regarding cell phone geolocation data and said the government needs to have a warrant because there's too much at risk here with people's movements and the government just having the absolute ability to know where you are at all times. Yes, some of that could be embarrassing. Now, if a private detective purchases that because he wants to prove that, you know, a guy's wife is having an affair, that's one thing. If the government does it, because the government wants to see, you know, whether or not you're being a good little boy and girl during lockdowns, then they have to go to a judge, prove probable cause why they need to do this, and then get a warrant. And I think we can all agree on that point. 855-839-1210. Listen, Natural Lawn of America is going to help you have that beautiful, lush, thick green grass that you want every summer. And the best part is they will seed your lawn for free every single year when you take advantage of Natural Lawn's program. For a greener, healthier lawn that's safer for your family and pets, call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. I've been a customer for years, and you're going to love the results. Natural Lawn has been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds for over 35 years. Their certified specialists tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs, and this environmentally friendly approach reduces the need for chemicals and creates a safer lawn for your family and pets. Natural Lawn is locally owned and family operated in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. I've been using them for years. When the guy was over here the other day, the tech, he made a detailed list of all the applications he was using and why, based on the weeds that I have and based on the kind of lawn that I have. That's the difference. Natural Lawn is not cookie cutter. They don't come and just spray your lawn like the other lawn companies do. Their approach is unique. Their approach is safer. Their approach is organic. So call them today. New customers can take advantage of Natural Lawn's unbeatable offer, but you must act now. The offer expires at the end of the month. So schedule Natural Lawn's full service program, and they will seed your lawn every year free of charge. Call 800-FREE-SEED or visit naturallawn.com to learn more. Choose the lawn care company I've trusted all these years, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rips, two more...
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
This is a great version of Midnight Rider. Really like this one a lot. My buddy suggested this to me. Midnight Rider with Zach Brown. I saw it at Camden, actually. They were in the pit, standing 6 feet from the stage. My buddy AJ sent that to me. Thanks, Bo. Appreciate it. Good version indeed. Excellent. Let's see. So Biden went into Wawa. There's a clip going around of Biden in Wawa. Where exactly in Philly? Do we know exactly which Wawa it was, Matt?
I don't have the exact location.
All right. It was in Philadelphia. There's not many left, so there's only a couple of options here, but I'm sure we can figure out exactly where he was.
Six and Chestnut?
Yeah, okay.
City.
Now... As I understand it, he got an Italian hoagie with American cheese. Now, first of all, an Italian hoagie, that's a disgrazia. You don't put American cheese on an Italian hoagie.
That's a weird combination.
No, that's cultural appropriation of my people's food is what it is. That's what that is. You put provolone on there. Everybody knows that. It's not an Italian hoagie with American cheese. Soft pretzels. Well, he needs soft pretzels and dentures. He can't do hard pretzels, obviously. Everybody knows that. A low-fat yogurt, a milkshake, mozzarella sticks, and a Coke. You know, somebody on that team bought him a Red Bull, too, that he's going to chug inside the beast. No question about that.
That Coke definitely had caffeine in it.
I got to tell you, I saw that movie Civil War yesterday. I hated it. I hated it so much. I wanted to kill you, Henry. Halfway through the movie, I wanted to kill you.
Surprised you didn't, like, text me saying that.
I was going to. I mean, the only upside was that I was by myself and I had popcorn. Bridget had an event last night, and so we had a babysitter, and I snuck out to the movies to see it. I hated it. I just thought it was one of the most boring movies I've ever seen, and the ending was so stupid. I felt like I was watching White House Down.
Yeah, the ending is the one part I really didn't care for.
They don't explain why the Civil War happened. They don't explain who the good guys were, the bad guys were. There was literally no story going on whatsoever.
Wasn't that their attempt to keep it apolitical?
But I don't understand. Was the president a good guy or a bad guy? I can't figure it out. Were Texas and California seceding for good reasons or bad reasons? I don't know any of these. They didn't tell me anything.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple hints dropped in there, like when they said he was like a third term president and he was like acting unilaterally and stuff. But yeah, nothing too specific.
And then what happened to the American military? Where were they? And there was not one scene with the American military in it. It was just a bunch of militia guys in backyards, like shooting at people.
Well, there was the one scene where they were covering something, and like the one guy got shot, and it was the young reporter's first time like getting war action. That was like the only time I think there was actually like U.S. soldiers fighting rebels or whatever.
It was dumb. I can't even say that it was an anti-Trump movie. I saw an article on The Blaze saying that it was really an anti-Trump movie. I don't think it's that intelligent to be an anti-Trump movie. I don't think it's that good to be an anti-Trump movie.
It's not. It's
no.
No. It's not pointed at anybody.
It's depressing, and I hated every second of it. And as I was eating, because I'm a mood eater, I just kept shoving more popcorn in my face.
I mean, all it really is, it's a road trip movie.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They go on a road trip. They're on their way to, you know, D.C. to try and interview the president, and they just keep bumping into wacky and zany characters.
I'm surprised.
Well, save your money. It's awful.
I'm surprised you hate it. I mean, I didn't see it.
Hated
but
it.
I think
Rotten
it's
Tomatoes
good.
Has good reviews.
Yeah,
on
I
Rotten
think it's
Tomatoes.
Good. It's a good movie.
It's not a good movie. It's a boring movie with no plot. The ending is silly, and there's no point to it.
The ending.
I walked
silly.
Out of there going, "What the hell was the point of that movie?"
The ending's silly. I liked the journey.
I didn't ruin the movie. I didn't ruin the ending. I didn't tell anybody what happens at the end.
No, just you didn't like it.
But trust me on this, if I did, I'd be doing you a favor. I'd be saving you $13.
I still want to see it.
Well, why don't you go see it tonight, and then we can talk about it tomorrow on a Friday, and we can have a conversation about it. Maybe we'll get Christian Toto on. He's probably seen it by now and get his opinion on it. Yeah, I bet you he thinks it stinks, too.
I can text him and see if he wants to come on to talk about it.
Yeah, see if he wants to talk. I hated it. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. In fact, now that I'm talking about it, I'm getting angry. I'm getting visibly, I can feel my blood pressure going up right now.
It was that bad?
It was worse than that.
I don't agree with that.
But. It was jiggly bad. The only way it could have been worse is if Ben Affleck was in it. That's the only way Civil War could have been worse is if it turns out the plot twist was that he was the president of the Confederate States or whatever the hell it was, the secession states.
The Western Forces.
Western Forces. If it had turned out that he was the president of that, I would have said that. I would have said, oh, now I get it. Now I understand why this movie's so bad.
Did you say it was Texas and California that joined together?
Yeah, and nobody understands why. They don't explain that either. Oh, I don't know what that's about. It's just that they're trying so hard to be apolitical that they wind up being just freaking boring. Like, I would have just, you know, it would have been more interesting if they just flat out made it about Trump. And then at least I could have said this is a plot, a story. I didn't know. I couldn't get a handle on am I rooting for anybody? Do I care? And Kirsten Dunst, who I used to love because she was Mary Jane in Spider-Man, was so depressing in this movie. I was hoping she would get shot in every scene. In every scene. I tell you what, though, her fat husband, Jesse, he lost some weight, though. Yeah.
He stole the show, in my opinion.
By far, no question about it. Yeah. Best scene in the movie.
He's great in everything. He was really good in Killers of the Flower Moon. He wasn't in it for a ton, but every scene he made better.
What kind of American are you?
Yeah, that was great. That scene was the only redeemable part of the movie. But you remember when they they did. He was in Breaking Bad. He played the character named Jesse Plemons, right?
No, that's his name. Is Jesse?
Oh, that's
Plemons.
His name. Who was the character he played?
Todd.
Todd, right?
Yeah.
And then they did the spinoff of that years later, called the Camaro movie, right? With
El Camino.
El Camino, and he gained weight in between those two shows. And so when people were watching it, social media lit up with Fat Todd, and everybody was fat shaming the guy. And they kept fat shaming. And then he lost weight. He looks good in this movie. But that's his wife, Kirsten Dunst.
No, I didn't know they were married.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny in that scene where he's kind of, interrogating them, like, what kind of American are you? I'm like, oh, yeah, they're married. That's funny.
Yeah.
Good pull for
him. Yeah, he kicked his coverage big time. No doubt about that.
He's not an attractive guy. And Kirsten Dunst is pretty good looking.
She's hot. I mean, she was hot in Spider-Man. We did a tour of Warner Brothers Studios in California many years ago. My wife and I did a wine trip to wine country, and we went to that spot where Spider-Man kisses her, hanging upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like a famous scene. Took a picture there and everything like that. Stupid. It's dumb. Dumb
Tobey
movie.
McGuire Spider-Man's.
Yeah. Dumb. What a dumb movie. Civil War. I hated it. I hated it so much that I wanted to kill you, Henry. I did. Thank God you weren't around me last night. I was raging on the drive home, banging the steering wheel. Like, I want that 2 hours of my life back. That's how bad it was.
It was only like, it was like an hour 40?
And you had popcorn.
But I've noticed something now. What they do is they're putting more commercials now before movies. Have you noticed this?
Yeah. Oh, no, when I saw it, it was like a 9 o'clock showing. It didn't get going to like 9:45.
I had a 7:10 showing, and by the time the movie finally started, it was 7:20 something. That's previews, commercials, everything. And I'm sorry, no, 7:17 is when the previews started for a 7:10 movie. That means from 7:10 to 7:17, 7 minutes of commercials, then previews, then the movie.
Yeah, I remember when I saw Dune 2 a couple weeks ago. That's a 3-hour film, and they had to have shown 25-ish minutes of previews before the movie ever even started. So then you're stuck in that movie theater for 3.5 hours. That's too much time.
Way too much time. Way too much time. Dumbest movie ever. Why Texas and California would team up? I don't know. They never explained that either.
Gavin Newsom and Greg Abbott suddenly see eye to eye.
Yeah. Well, Greg Abbott is jealous of his hair and decides to secede from the union and join him. Just Gavin Newsom's just that charming that Texas decides to join them and leave the... I think this is dumb. Dumb. Angry. Anyway, I'll get over it, though. I'll move on.
I have to ask you one other question, Rich.
Sure.
I know you're notorious for bringing in outside snacks into the movie theater. Did you do it yesterday?
I did not, because the reason why is I love movie theater popcorn. So I just bought the movie theater popcorn. I did smuggle in a bottle of water and a bottle of wine, but
I knew there had to have been booze.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Ferran says, I would still rather listen to you earlier in the day. Well, Mike, I appreciate you saying that, but I still would not like to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So this works just fine. Plus, we have all the breaking news. Today's not as much of a big breaking news day, but there's been a couple days here. Monday was insane, for example. Just news was breaking all over the place. So I'm actually liking the pace of today's show a little bit more, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of breaking news, but it's only 4:38. God only knows what could happen in the next few minutes. But okay, so let's see here. Who is this now? Safira Crystal, honored by the city of Philadelphia. I'm looking at this on 6ABC. I got to look into that. It looks like a little creepy there. All right, we'll talk about that. 855-839-1210. The other part, too, that I wanted to mention to you with regards to the lunacy of today in our modern day politics, you don't even have to go to Hollywood for this, is that the United States of America is watching right now as a man running for president is stuck inside a courtroom. And we're supposed to think that that's fair to the very people who are screaming about democracy over and over again, saying that he's a threat to democracy. I want you to think of something right now, and that is this. The last time you argued with somebody on social media, the last time you had a disagreement with somebody, did they insult your intelligence? Just ask yourself that question. Did they mock you or insult your intelligence? I bet you the answer is yes. Happens to me all the time. I rarely engage people who disagree with me on Twitter these days. I just don't have the time for it. I really don't. But I used to, and sometimes I would do it like sparring practice, you know, like Rocky would fight Spider Rico or that sort of thing, just to kind of, you know, keep me sharp. Obviously knowing that they couldn't keep up with me, but they would inevitably insult my intelligence and accuse me of not reading a book. If I'd ever read a book, if I read anything, Joe Scarborough did the exact same thing. He did there's a montage of MSNBC's Morning Joe of just them just completely insulting Trump voters, insulting anyone who supports Donald Trump. And, you know, Jamie Dimon came out a while ago and warned about this. And he said, this is the Democrats' problem. They keep doing this. They keep insulting his voters. They keep mocking people. And this is going to blow up in their face. So Joe Scarborough, this moron on MSNBC, accusing Republicans now of hating America, advocating for dictatorship. And it's because we don't read. So it's the usual thing of you're just not smart, and that's why you want this to happen. It's the textbook playbook whenever you disagree with somebody on the left. They go to right away, insult your intelligence. Cut 14.
They give their viewers anything to try to make America look bad. They are obsessed on trashing America. The world's coming to an end. Help us, Jesus. The country ain't the country I was raised. Because they are fed a steady stream of hate America first rhetoric. You live in the most powerful, greatest country on the face of the earth, and you're voting for a guy that tells you every day that America sucks? What's wrong with you? Who raised you? What history did you read?
That's it.
Like, where are you from? Because you may claim to be from where I'm from, but you were not raised by the same teachers I was raised by. And you don't read. Because if you read, Mike, the facts are clear. And I'm getting tired of saying this to people who claim to be patriotic but hate America because they're always running America down. They're always trashing America. They're always saying America's horrible. Its democracy doesn't work. We need a dictatorship if Donald Trump doesn't win.
Now, the hatred that these people have, the hatred that they have for you, the hatred that they have for me, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And some breaking news for you. Turns out the White House has admitted that Joe Biden was lying when he suggested that his uncle was eaten by cannibals in New Guinea during World War II. Karine Jean-Pierre tried deflecting by saying Biden was simply just expressing how incredibly proud he was of his uncle before admitting the story was a fugazi. Quote, you saw the president. He was incredibly proud of his uncle's service in uniform. She then admitted that his uncle, Ambrose Finnegan, actually died by crashing into the Pacific. Quote, you saw him respond to all of you when asked about the moment yesterday and his uncle who lost his life when the military aircraft he was on crashed in the Pacific after taking off near New Guinea. Now, as soon as I get back, I'm going to play you the original cannibal cut. Play you Karine Jean-Pierre and everybody who yelled at me today for suggesting that mocking Biden over this was somehow wrong. Johnny Cook, I'm looking at you. You can say you're sorry. You can apologize because Biden led everybody to believe that his uncle was eaten by a freaking cannibal. All right. He made everybody believe that his uncle was eaten by a freaking cannibal. And on behalf of the cannibal population, I'm telling you that was unfair to suggest that the people of New Guinea were a bunch of cannibals. Where's their spokesperson today defending the rights and the honor of the people of New Guinea? All that is straight ahead for you. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, NJ Diet's going to help you lose some serious weight, 20 to 40 plus pounds. And you don't even if you're a cannibal, this works for you because it works with your, I don't know if that's true or not. I can't say that for sure. I need to be clear. I don't know if NJ Diet helps cannibals. I'll have to check on, but It helps everybody else. Guaranteed weight loss of 20 to 40 plus pounds. Because there's no prepackaged food, no surgery, no hormones, no shots, no weight loss drugs, none of that stuff. You know, they have banned a lot of those shots in Europe, for example. All kinds of side effects. NJ Diet's all natural. You lose weight the right way because it is tailored to your biochemistry, your body. And they're with you every step of the way. You got the doctor's personal email, doctor's personal phone number. NJ Diet is there to help you. Here's the number. I'm going to give it to you right now. And I'm going to tell you that you can also do this live online. They have video consultations as well. And there's a location close by in King of Prussia, Newark, Delaware, Cherry Hill, and Princeton. Or njdiet.com. 855-5NJ-DIET. 855-5NJ-DIET. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water weight. And you know, everybody I've talked to who's done this has kept the weight off, too. That's the beautiful part. 40 days from now is summer. Summer's going to be here, Memorial Day. You're going to be taking that shirt off at the beach, taking that shirt off at the pool. You want to look good. You want to feel good. You want to be healthy. It's healthy to lose weight. It's healthier for your body. It's better for you. You know that. Everybody knows that. This is the time. Lose the winter weight for good. 855-5-NJ-DIET or njdiet.com.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
You know, 12 jurors have now been picked, and one alternate in the trial of former President Donald Trump. I'll get into the Joe Biden stuff in just a moment, but I just want to share this with you, and I want you to think about this. And by the way, we're remembering Dickie Betts today of the Allman Brothers Band, playing some music from the Allman Brothers. Jacob Solom had a great piece about this at Reason.com. Alvin Bragg, that idiot, the district attorney of New York, he spoke to New York One in January. And this is what he said at the time. He said, this case, this trial right now that Trump right now is dealing with in New York City, taking the Republican nominee for president of the United States off the playing field for as long as potentially 2 months. He said, quote, it's an election interference case. That's what Bragg said. It's an election interference case. Now, that sounds important and obviously calls to mind the federal charges by the lunatic Jack Smith on the federal level against Trump. Bragg said when he announced the indictment, as this office has done time and time again, we today uphold our solemn responsibility to ensure that everyone stands equal before the law. No amount of money and no amount of power changes that enduring principle. Underlining that point, Bragg added, these are felony crimes in New York. No matter who you are, we cannot normalize serious criminal conduct. But what was the serious criminal conduct? He said, true and accurate business records are important everywhere. They are all the more important in Manhattan, the financial center of the world. But didn't he say this was an election interference case? He said, we allege Donald Trump and his associates repeatedly and fraudulently falsified New York business records to conceal damaging information and unlawful activity from American voters. Now, Mary McCord, the executive director of the Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection at Georgetown University Law Center, echoes that take in a recent New York Times discussion of the case when she says, the falsification of business records seems rock solid based on documentary evidence. The question for the jurors will be Trump's knowledge and intent. It's a very winnable case for the DA because prosecutors will give the jurors plenty of evidence that Trump's motive in falsifying business records was to prevent information damaging to candidate Trump from becoming public just weeks before the 2016 election. But there's a problem. If you read the indictment and the accompanying statement of facts, you will notice a glaring chronological problem with that account. The criminal conduct that Alvin Bragg alleges all happened, wait for it, after the 2016 election. Let me say that again. The criminal conduct that Alvin Bragg alleges all happened after the 2016 election. Since Trump was already president, ensuring the outcome could not have been his motive. The indictment says that beginning in February of 2017, Trump reimbursed Cohen for the hush money with a series of checks. And by the way, hush money is it's a non-disclosure agreement. For the non-disclosure agreement money with a series of checks, which he disguised as payment for legal services. The indictment counts each of those checks, 34 times with each invoice. That's why it's how they get to the 34 counts number. It's one count. It's one count that they reiterate 34 times. And then they say that the distinct violation of a state law makes falsification of business records with intent to defraud a misdemeanor, but they're able to then hype it up to a felony, even though Alvin Bragg has a record of dropping felonies down to misdemeanors. Since all this happened after Trump was elected, it is clearly not true that the alleged phony records concealed damaging information from American voters, or that the falsification of business records was aimed at keeping information away from the electorate, thereby helping Trump defeat Hillary Clinton. Now, even that attorney Eisen concedes this when he says, quote, election interference skeptics contend the charges here are for document falsification by the Trump Organization in 2017 after the 2016 election concluded to hide what happened the year before from being revealed. How can we call this an election interference trial if the election was already over when the 34 alleged document falsification crimes occurred? In other words, then it's just simply a financial records case of which the misdemeanor statute of limitations had expired. There should be no case right now. This should not be happening. This should not be happening. Now, this guy says, well, the skeptics, they overlooked the fact the payment to Daniels was itself allegedly illegal under federal and state law and was plainly intended to influence the 2016 election. Although Cohen was limited by law to $2,700 in contributions to the campaign, he transferred $130,000 to benefit the campaign allegedly at Trump's direction. That is why Cohen pleaded guilty to federal campaign finance violations for which he was incarcerated. And no one can seriously dispute that the reason he and Trump allegedly hatched the scheme was to deprive voters of information that could have changed the outcome of an extremely close election. But here's the problem with that argument. The difficulty of distinguishing between personal and campaign expenditures in this context, which is crucial in proving a campaign federal violation. And if you can't prove that, there's no case because it's only a misdemeanor and the statute of limitations has already expired. The difficulty helps explain why the Justice Department never prosecuted Trump for allegedly directing Cohen to make an excessive campaign contribution. Contrary to what Eisen says, there is a serious dispute about whether Trump knowingly and willfully violated federal election law. In any case, it is too late to prosecute that alleged crime. And even if it weren't too late, Bragg has no authority to enforce federal law. Falsification of business records can only be treated as a felony if the defendant's intent to defraud includes an intent to commit another crime or to aid or conceal the commission thereof. So he mentions a violation of the Federal Election Campaign Act as the other crime. But it is plausible that Trump did not think paying off Stormy Daniels was illegal. And so it's hard to see how this falsification of business records could have been aimed at concealing another crime, even assuming that that other crime would be a violation of federal law, which also is not clear. And the legality of hush money payments in itself is uncertain. I disagree with that guy Eisen, too, because it turns on whether Trump was trying to promote his election or trying to avoid personal embarrassment in his wife's feelings. I mean, this is the other point. Maybe Trump wanted to keep it private from Melania. Maybe we want to keep it private from Ivanka. Did he falsify business records to cover up another crime or simply keep his wife in the dark? We don't know. We don't know the answer to that. What's the mens rea here? What's the mental state? What's the mindset? But that's the point. Alvin Bragg has no authority over federal election law, and there's nothing that requires presidential candidates to disclose allegations of affairs. Nothing. It's not in the Constitution. It's not under federal law. There's nothing. Nothing requires presidential candidates to disclose affairs. And nothing, there's no prohibition against them from trying to cover up allegations of an affair. Nothing. That's not a crime. I got more on this for you in the 5 o'clock hour. A lot more to say on this. Plus Joe Biden lying about his uncle being eaten by cannibals. All that for you straight ahead. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh.
I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.